Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The Bible is a book containing many beatitudes. Now, beatitude speaks of blessedness that characterizes certain traits of mind and action that makes one happy before God. Christ cited 8 beatitudes in the introduction of the Sermon on the Mount, recorded in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Psalms opens with a beatitude. There are over 100 beatitudes in the Bible. The word blessed or blessing occurs over 600 times. So it is proper that the Bible be considered as a book of blessing, a book of beatitudes. And one of these is found in Acts 20 and verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now these words of Jesus are not found in the first 4 books of the New Testament. It was one of those morsels of the bread of life that fell from his lips that's not recorded anywhere else. John wrote that the world could not contain the books that could be written of all that Jesus did, but we have all that is necessary and what is all sufficient in Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Unfortunately, many do not agree with Jesus in this statement. His thinking clashes with that of so many of us. Mankind, in his greed and covetousness and selfishness, has a different philosophy about giving and getting than what the Lord taught. Giving is looked upon by some as a necessary nuisance, and this includes giving to the work of the church as well as giving generally. Getting is their goal. Giving is one of those matters in life from which many wish to escape, not realizing what harm they are doing to themselves if they were never offered the opportunity to give. Unquestionably, the nerve that runs from the heart to the pocketbook is a very sensitive one. It is so sensitive that it has caused many preachers to shy away from discussing it. And when he does, there are always, it seems, those who impugn his motives and accuse him of seeking more for himself. As one man once said, all I hear is give, give, give. Well, that, my dear listening friend, is not a bad commentary on the religion of Christ. God gave, Christ gave, Christians give, and there's far more on giving in the Scripture than there is even on the plan of salvation. The real reason that the so-called nerve to the pocketbook is so sensitive is because it is inflamed with the poison of sin. Preachers do their hearers a real service to probe into the subject and to teach people to give as they ought. Let us consider the Lord's truth on this theme and learn why it is more blessed to give than to receive. And then we can honor God with our substance, Proverbs 3 and verse 9, and we can obey the apostolic instructions given in 1 Corinthians 16 and in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 regarding giving. Basically and essentially, giving is like God. God is concerned about blessing our universe. It was the joy of giving that moved God to create man and to give man life. The same motive prompted him to offer redemption to man, John 3 and verse 16. He is the giver of every good and perfect gift, James 1, verse 17. Salvation itself is a gift, Romans 6 and verse 23, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Yes, it is more blessed to give than to receive, because it is the true imitation of the Son of God. The Lord lived among men to give enlightenment, to give comfort, to give guidance, and to give hope, and to give deliverance from sin. He came to offer mercy and salvation. His life was not one of being ministered unto, but one of ministering to others, Matthew 20, verse 28. Precious little of this world's goods belong to him. The foxes have holes and the birds of heaven have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head, Matthew 8 and verse 20. Our text, in Acts 20 and verse 35, can almost be called a one-line biography of the life of Christ on earth. It is the story of his life. His very mission embodied giving up and giving for others. He gave up equality with the Father in heaven to take on the form of man, Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 8. He gave himself for our sins, Galatians 1 and verse 4. He gave himself to redeem us, Titus 2 and verse 14. One of the clear distinctions between givers and getters is found in the lives of Mary of Bethany, in contrast with Judas Iscariot. Both were present at a supper prepared for Jesus in John 17. Mary took very costly ointment and anointed the feet of Jesus to honor him. And Judas complained that such use of the ointment was wasteful and ought to have been put into the treasure that he kept. But the Bible reveals that Jesus was a thief and he stole from the bag. Malachi 3 and verse 8 raises the question, will a man rob God? Well, Judas gives us the answer. The actions and the failures to give as we ought is also evidence that the answer is in the affirmative. Man will rob God. And we can rob God as much by failing to put in as by deliberately taking out. The human family divides itself into the Marys and to the Judases. Some seem to think that the world owes them a living, and they only live to get. Others recognize their debt to the world and to God, and to live to give. Others serve God for what they think they might get out of it materially. There are even preachers who appeal to people on the basis that serving God will get you a better car, a better house, a better job, more clothes. But there are others who serve the Lord and their fellow man because their love is so great. They want to do something good for others, and they want to honor God with what they have in their stewardship. Giving is unselfish. It's sacrificial. It's a blessed example of our Lord. He has set the examples for us to follow. But again, it is more blessed to give than to receive because it enlarges a person's life. Now, we all believe Paul when he taught that we reap what we sow, Galatians 6, 7, and 8. The Lord said in Luke 6 and verse 38, give, and it shall be given unto you. There is the story about the preacher who preached in a small rural church, and whatever financial support he received was the amount that was placed in a little box just inside the doorway. People passed the box as they entered. One Sunday, he took his small son with him to this small church. And he put in his contribution as he entered. He conducted the services, he did his preaching, almost everything was left for him to do. And after it was over, he went by the box to get what was given. And all that was in the box was what he had given himself, and he was rather disgruntled about it. His son noticed his displeasure and said, Dad, if you had put more in, you would have got more out. But truer words cannot be spoken when it comes to rendering service unto God. The reason some do not get much from their religion is because they invest so little in it as to time and energy and prayer and thought, work, and yes, even money. Another story is about a man who went to heaven and began looking for his mansion. Angels led him down one street and then another, and the mansions on each street kept getting less and less fine. Finally, they came to the doorsteps of a rather modest place, and the man expressed disappointment. But the angel explained, "We did the best we could with what you sent ahead for us." The story carries the point that we want to make. We're not just to give so we can get. We may not get very much in this life at all, except hardship and persecution and even death. To give for the purpose of getting is to destroy the purity of motive in giving. But being blessed is a promised return to those who give as they ought. In fact, we get far more than we ever give. I've often suggested that God makes it hard to sacrifice. Oh yes, he teaches us to sacrifice. But he blesses us so abundantly with things that matter that we do not feel we've sacrificed at all. Giving is indeed an investment, not an expense. It's laying aside eternal securities, Matthew chapter 6, 19 and 20. That which a man treasures most is that which is dearest to his heart. It is folly to let our treasures be of the earthly sort, because they shall corrode and rust and be consumed, and they cannot last. They're temporal at best. And even then we can't take any of it with us, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7. They shall all perish with the using. Jesus taught that such treasures are deceitful because they seem to be what they are not. They cannot give security for the soul. They're not even the means to happiness in this life. How many wealthy people are living in an earthly torment because they have trusted in riches and have leaned on that which cannot sustain them? Did you ever read about that rich man in Luke 12 and see how deceived he was when he had relied on his wealth for his soul's security? We injure the soul, we endanger our hope of heaven, we're very subject to missing what really counts in life when we concentrate on earthly wealth to the neglect of the spirit. Only that which is invested in spiritual things shall remain beyond the river of physical death. We lay up treasures in heaven by giving. One man was quite successful financially. He decided to give $50,000 to the church. But later he suffered business reverses and lost his fortune and had to start again. Someone asked him if he did not wish he had that $50,000 back again. His answer was, "No, sir. That is the only amount of my fortune that I really saved." Well, friend, we can fare sumptuously every day and die and be in torment if we fail to put material things in their proper place and use what we have to the glory of God and put spiritual things in first place. No, we cannot serve two masters, Matthew 6:24. This is a common error that possibly many are making today by trying to be Christians, but still having such a love and desire for money and the things that money can buy. We can use mammon for service, but if we are not careful, we shall become the servant of it. Many have done that, and we are subject to it also. Only when we are honest in its acquisition, and when we possess the right attitude toward it, and when we're faithful to God in its disposition as good stewards, can we receive personal and eternal blessings from the material things of this world. By giving as we should, we can be counted a worthy steward of that which is entrusted to us. After all, temporary stewards is what we are. We're stewards of that which belongs to God, which He has loaned to us for a while. We shall return it all over to somebody else, someday, sooner or later. When Christ sent out His apostles, He gave them great powers, such as the power to heal the sick and to cast out demons and other powers. Then He taught them a great principle, a principle that we need to learn. Freely ye have received, freely give, Matthew 10 and verse 8. And again He taught, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required," Luke 12 and verse 48. It's that way with me and with you with what we have. And on the basis of these thoughts, let me urge you that you take another consideration of your contributions. I do not appeal to you just on the basis of the need that the church constantly has for more funds. That will always be with us. It should be that way. But I appeal to your faith in Christ and your confidence in what He has said when He said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.